Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. You know, my friend Gary Chapman says, love is a choice that you make every day. Amen to that. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of Intentional Living, host of Intentional Living, a friend of Intentional Living, your friend as well. And Jennifer's here, and Stephen, our Intentional Living team, and around the building, a lot of people thinking and praying for you as we take just about 27, 28 minutes to unpack and hear the stories of people who are saying, this is how I feel and when I feel most loved in my marriage. And we're doing this show for one reason, as we did last week, and that's to encourage some of you to think about, well, you know, am I showing love and respect for my spouse? And if so, if not, why? And what one thing could I do, should I do, that'll make a difference in our relationship? Share it on our storyline. Love to hear from you. 888-1717. Kara is first in Michigan. Kara, appreciate your call. When do you feel most loved and respected in your marriage?
Well, actually, this was a topic of conversation on your show probably 6 or 7 years ago. And at the time you recommended, you know, tonight when you're having a conversation with your spouse, ask them what their answer would be. And I did that. And my husband said he felt the most loved or the closest to me as we were sitting together in church worshiping together. And that was such a meaningful answer for me. And I think it really drew us closer together. And I have never forgotten that.
It interesting.
It was good.
So that made a difference in your relationship.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, just kind of opened the door to us having deeper and more meaningful conversations about our feelings for each other and faith and those big topics.
So you'd recommend people tonight maybe doing the same, just to ask their spouse, hey, I listened to this guy on the radio today, and he was talking about love and respect and when you feel it most. And man, that was kind of interesting. When do you feel most loved by me or most respected by me?
I definitely recommend it. It took him a minute to respond, but he, you know, took his time and really gave a meaningful answer. So that was, I just tucked that away. It was a good moment for us.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, listen, we're all about moments. We call them intentional moments here. In fact, you know, we do our talking about the ministry and why we do this and a little, how can we be most effective in helping people. And the idea of an intentional moment came up. We want to create intentional moments. We want you to have intentional moments. Moments that are transformational in your life, defining moments. Life is so brief. If we can have moments that really make a difference, I think that's a good deal. And that's why we're here to help you do those. At least head in that direction. All right. Again, you can share your story on our storyline. 888-1717 is my phone number, and let's get to the calls. Lori in New Mexico. Hi there. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Terrific. Talk to me. When do you guys feel most loved and respected?
Well, we started dating again. So that pickly feeling you get when you date somebody. my husband set a date for me every week, once a week, and he put everything else aside to pay attention to me on that day.
That's great. What kind of things have you done?
Mostly we go to restaurants and just hang out together and eat. And, you know, we both work, so we have a limited time, but...
Now, does he say where would you like
together.
To? Does he say where would you like to go, or does he decide, or do you guys wait for the other one to pick?
No, he says, "Where do you want to go?"
And then, what do you say?
Usually, a place where we can have privacy and be alone.
Oh, so you'll actually tell him? You'll say, "Hey, I'd like to go here."
Yes.
I'm bringing this up because my wife and I, have this same discussion. We leave the house, we're driving down the road, and I'm saying, okay, where would you like to go? And she says, I don't care, you know, wherever. And then I mentioned something, and she said, well, I'm not really that, maybe something else. but the fact that you can be together and shut everything out, kids, work, and just talk is meaningful.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, thank you. I'm glad you're listening in New Mexico, Lori.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. You know, these things matter. And by the way, you may say, well, restaurant costs now, we can't go out all that often. But you know what? You can do something. You can have a picnic. You can go pick someplace that's, you know, half price or whatever. But just the idea, I find my wife and I, Don and I, we find that if we just sometimes just go for a drive, just get out of the house, do something. It breaks that kind of routine mentality that can set in when you do the same thing over and over and over all the time. All right, that's good. Let me go to Debbie, who's next in somewhere. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Appreciate it. When do you guys feel most loved and respected in your marriage?
Okay, I believe that the spontaneity of either partner just seeing something that, hey, this might help my other partner, will bring so much more joy than saying, oh, it's our anniversary, yeah, and just doing it because. So just the spontaneity of finding that day and, hey, God touched my heart to reach out and I'm gonna do the dishes today, or she can carry out the trash today. So just reaching out, I think that shows the love and respect and say, hey, thank you for doing it every day, but I took this day.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that will bring the chills and the happy moments. Keep it going. Keep the flame burning.
Absolutely. And in my conferences, I often refer to this as planned spontaneity. And the reason I do that is because some of us, if we don't plan it, it won't be spontaneous. It won't get done. And so we can make it appear to be spontaneous, but when you plan it, and guys, come on, many times we're guilty of that. You know, we've got our schedules and we're doing things and spontaneity doesn't really fit into our personality all that well. So even having it planned, and like Debbie said, it's out of the routine. You know, the routines are great. We need to keep, life is filled with routine. We got to have that. I understand that. God gives us that. If we don't have that, we'd be going crazy every day having things chaotic. But at the same time, having a little spontaneity can add a lot to the marriage, for sure. All right, thank you, Debbie. Let's take a break. I'll be back. By the way, your comments, love them. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. We've all been there. You have a difficult decision, and you want to know God's will, but where do you start?
I believe that God's will is not nebulous or vague. It's all revealed for you and for me in His Word. To know and live in God's will, you must know and apply the Bible to every situation.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Finding God's Will, he discusses some practical ways you can know what God's will is for your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message, along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I appreciate the fact that you're standing with us and supporting the ministry, and we're in this this month now where we have a special need. This is our kind of our fall time of gathering folks to come and help us support the ministry as we approach the year end here in a few weeks. And I just want to say in advance to those of you, and I know there's a lot of things we can give to, lots of needs in the world. And my wife and I, we give to several different things because we believe in it. Ministries here, ministries overseas, our church, and we just know that God's working and we want to be a part of it. I would just ask you, if you catch the vision that says, hey, you all are using media today, you're doing it with your podcast, your radio program, your videos, your books, things you're doing. We want to be a part of it. We want to see someone come to Christ. We want to see a young family make a better decision, keep their marriage together. You can literally, through your support, help us together as a team, all of us, maybe to save a marriage or help someone make a better decision in their life for Jesus. And your support matters. And I just lay it out because I know we like to be kind of like know what's going on. A dollar a day is kind of a target, $30 a month. That's sort of the, I hate to use the word average, but that's typical of what people give. Some give more, some give less. But whatever you can do, but of a dollar a day, you think of it four quarters, man, you can't even get a cup of coffee. In fact, it would take, you drive by some of these coffee places, they're like $5-6 now, right? But anyway, a dollar a day would make a big difference. Just a challenge to you to come. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. You can click on donate, do it online, safe and securely, quickly, or you can call 888-888-1717. Be a part of Intentional Living today.
My husband makes me feel loved and respected all the time. We have a very, very blessed marriage, and I'm thankful to Jesus every day for that. But some special things that he does for me, if we're watching a romantic movie, a little love story, a Hallmark movie, or just a Hallmark commercial, and you'll see where the husband tells the wife he loves her, or they'll get married, and he'll reach over and he'll hold my hand and he'll say, I'm just as lucky as that man. I'm luckier. I have you to love. You're the best thing that happened to me. Just all kinds of little things like that. And he'll tell me. So I'm very, very blessed to have him in my life and to be married 21 years to such a wonderful man.
Okay, guys, there's a challenge for you, right? To the phones. And Shawnee's on the line in Michigan. Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. Talk to me a little bit. What caused you to pick up the phone today and call?
So I heard that woman, I caught the tail end of the woman talking about how she is in a lot of pain and that her husband just kind of doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a call, earlier call. Yeah.
Yes, I have experienced that. I actually had stage 3 endometriosis, and my husband for a long time, until he went to the doctor with me, he did not understand like what was going on and the pain that I was in. He thought I was like making it up.
Yeah. So the advice I gave her was to see if your husband could go with you, maybe the doctor, that he'll understand more what's going on. And that made a difference for your husband?
Yes, very much so. Well, when he saw, so he just thought that it was like just cramps, but I would get in this pain that would take my breath away, and like I'd have to stand still and try and catch my breath.
Well, this was a wake-up call for him. It was a good thing then. And how are you doing now? You've been getting some treatment? Are you doing better?
So I had surgery to get it removed, and I have to be honest, the surgery hurt a lot less than the pain I was going through in day-to-day life.
Mm. Well, I'm glad that you're doing better, but it is a reminder. I think sometimes, come on, guys, sometimes we're a little thick, and our wife is experiencing something, and we miss it. Because, listen, we interpret everything through our own eyes and our own experiences. And this goes both ways, by the way. This is a wife to a husband, husband to a wife. And one of the most powerful, in fact, this is one of the points that John Gottman makes is about empathy, having an understanding, trying to walk in the shoes of that other person a little bit and the difference it's made. So what kind of difference has it made in your marriage? How's your relationship today?
It's really, really great. He listens to me now. It's been kind of an eye opener of like, everything's not just rosy. He grew up in he was very healthy, and I had a lot of health issues. So like, I kind of knew what to expect, and I think he just didn't want to believe that these things were going on. I don't think it was the, you don't have the pain. It's not there. I think it was him not wanting to believe that I could go through that.
Mm. Yeah. The fact, the half, it sounds like a good part of it was just the ability to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Communication is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting on the same page, even if we don't quite understand, but listening. Man, listen, she just gave you some great advice, guys. For free. Listen to your spouse, it'll change your marriage. All right, thank you, Shawnee, appreciate it. Let me go to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to the show today. How are you?
Thank you. It's great. Fantastic.
Go right ahead. What do you want to share today?
Well, Randy, I just lost my beautiful wife in January of this year after 63 years and 2 months of marriage.
Wow.
4 months. And I let it go back to when I was dating her. I had no vehicle and she did. And she was such a nice lady that she would let me drive her vehicle, and she lived down in the South Missouri. And so I would take her home, and then I would walk back to my house 9 miles.
Oh.
But what I'm saying, I did everything I could for her. And then after we got married, I went to service, but she went with me. It wasn't overseas. But anything I could do, I did. I don't know. My grandfather raised me and taught me how to love one another, but we didn't get born again till later in our marriage, but I mean in early part of marriage, I guess. But for 30 years I was on the road back and forth to the house and in sales. But I just want to say, anything that anybody can give to their wife, and I always tell them how much they love them.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it. 63 years is a pretty good number, my friend.
Yeah.
How are you doing after? Yeah, how are you doing personally now? 63 years.
Yes. You know, there's everything that jumps out at you. You can recognize and remember, and that's good that I still remember the things. You know, I walk through the house, and but it's you know, to know what she did for me, as well as the last about 18 months, I was taking care of her pretty good as her caregiver. I wasn't working. But anyway, no, I'm doing fine. The Lord's blessed me. I mean, I depend on him, and he gets me through the day. I'm not discouraged. And sometimes I dream of her. But anyway,
yeah, I'm sure you would.
Everything I could do, it was for her.
Can I add anything? No. I'd be stupid to try to add anything. I would say this. I would ask the question, come on, guys, how many of us would walk 9 miles for our wife? How many of us could walk 9 miles for our wife? Thank you, Jerry. I think we better take a break. I'll be right back.
If you and I want to live obediently to Christ, intentionally for Him, we want to know His will, I guess the message here is to get into His Word and read what it has to say about marriage, about work, about finances, about the decisions that you're trying to make. To understand God's will is to begin in His Word. And as you diligently search for Scripture and for His will, for whatever it is, the dilemma you're facing, the questions you're facing, the decisions you're facing, you're going to find that the Bible will spell out the divine principles that will apply to your circumstances so that you can apply them by obedience directly to your life. I think perhaps the consummate scripture on God's will comes from Romans 12:2. And for good reason. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and to prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
You know God's will? Are you living in His will? Do you understand what it means to find the will of God? Is there only one perfect path? These are things that we sort of talk about in this lesson this month. It's at our website at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, where we help you live an intentional life in Christ from our Intentional Life Ministry. That's what we're committed to. Powerful. I got seven things that John Gottman said will make a difference in your marriage. John Gottman is sort of the leading research expert on marriage. I'll tell you what they are coming up in just a minute or two.
Hey, this is Jordan in Florida, and when I feel most loved by my wife is actually when we're on the phone. When we're younger, when we first got married, you know, arguments happen, but I asked her to not hang up ever on me out of anger. You know, disconnections happen and things, but it would always just make me fret and make me worry when all of a sudden the phone line would go dead and she'd be driving or I'd be driving. I'd never know what may have happened. And so I asked her one day to never do that. If, you know, you need a few minutes, I said, hey, sweetheart, you know, say goodbye, but don't hang up out of anger. And since that day, you know, we all tease and razz each other, but she's never done it.
Yeah, I relate to that. Not by hanging up, but Don and I would never do that. But I do relate to the fact that if something were to happen like that, and you're talking, it's just me. I'm a big control freak, and I worry wart. Come on. And if I was talking to Don, and all of a sudden the phone got disconnected, I'd be worried. He gets worried? Yeah, I get worried. I'd call again, and I'd try to find out what's going on, so I get it. All right, John Gottman. Researcher on marriage, seven things, he says. Express affection, holding hands, kissing your partner, greeting them at the end of the day, just expressions of affection. It's huge. Demonstrate they matter. And I mentioned this earlier. I love this. He says, our motto for making marriage last is small things often. I like that. It's little things over an extended period of time, right? Intentional appreciation, using our word. Yeah, intentional appreciation. Showing them the positive things that you appreciate about the marriage. Find opportunities for agreement. When couples fight, they focus on the negative parts of their conflict and miss the opportunities on what they can agree. How can two walk together, the Bible says, unless they be in agreement? Empathy and apology. Empathy is one of the deepest forms of human connection. When you empathize with your spouse, you show that you understand and feel what your partner is feeling. Even if you express empathy non-verbally, maybe through your facial expressions or physical gesture, don't fold your arms and look disgusted. In other words, that doesn't work. Accept your spouse's perspective. It might be different than yours. Often is. You're shaking your head, Jennifer. Often is, right? Perspective on things can be different. And then he finally says, make jokes. Playful teasing and silliness can make a difference. What is the Bible? It's interesting. He's a researcher, secular researcher, does a great job with his writing and research. But a lot of that comes right from Bible. You know, the scripture says about the power of joy and a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine. Really powerful stuff. All right. By the way, your comments, we'd love them. Tell us, when do you feel most loved and respected? We'd love to use them on an upcoming show down the road, 888-888-1717. Jeff, you're next in Arizona. When do you feel this thing of love and respect?
When my comments or my suggestions are honored and taken into account for decision-making around the house and otherwise.
Like what? Give an example. It makes sense. I hear what you're saying. Give an example when that what that might feel like or what that might look like.
Okay, so, you know, for instance, like there's a big decision coming up in with finances, or a big decision with buying something for the house, or a color we're going to paint in a room or something like that. When she asks me my opinion, even if she doesn't necessarily take it, it's just the point that she asked.
Yeah.
It means a lot, you know?
Yeah, it does. And that cuts both ways, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because if your opinion isn't validated or your emotions aren't validated, even though, you know, feelings may be fickle or whatever, they're still valid. So if they're ignored or if they're not took into account, that causes pain and strife in the marriage.
It does. That's a good point. I mean, we want to be understood. We need to be feel like we matter, and our comments matter, and our input matters in marriage, no matter what the topic is. That's for sure. How long have you been married, Jeff?
For 26 years.
That's good. Yeah.
To my high school sweetheart. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way. Me too. That's great. All right. I think a quick time here. Ann, come on in. How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to share, we've been married 33 years. We have a good marriage. He's a wonderful, godly man, strong Christian faith and basis. I definitely agree with praying together and scripture study and all. But what I wanted to share, he and I have very opposite love languages.
Oh.
Yeah. And for many years, I didn't feel loved. I knew he loved me, and he would tell me he loved me, but I didn't really feel it. And I learned to understand his love languages, and when he wants to show me something on his phone, or his love languages are, you know, sitting the shoulder to shoulder, enjoying something together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not my love language. But so I've learned that when he does that, he's showing me that he wants to be with me, that he loves me. So basically, I'm kind of training my brain and understanding that that's how he is showing that he loves me. If that makes sense.
Yeah, you're training your brain.
So it's understanding how he shows love, yeah, even though it's not my love language.
What is your love language?
Oh, touch, physical touch. And he was a premature baby that all his early touch was painful. So he does not like to touch or be touched. So, so that's a hard one. But, you know, we've made it work, and you grow together and you learn to love each other. And I'm very thankful for him.
Yeah. And I hear in your voice that little hesitancy, there have been issues, and you struggle with things like we all do. And so when you hear callers coming into Intentional Living saying, here's when I feel most loved and respected, these aren't just perfect marriages with everybody being, you know, on a happy pill. I mean, these are real people with real issues and real challenges, and they've chosen to say, I choose to be more content, happy, fulfilled in my relationship, and this is the one thing I'm going to do. And that's powerful. All right, we got to run. I'll tell you what, tomorrow we'll come on back, and we'll pick up from a discussion we had on in-laws last week. There's always room for more in-law discussion, right? We'll be back with that tomorrow. My name is Dr. Randy Carlson, along with Jennifer and Stephen. God bless you. Have a great day. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.